Well, autumn has arrived. Had an autumn morning, and our air conditioning system's still on cooling. So sorry about that, everyone. We'll eventually get it onto the heating cycle. But it's just so good to be in the house of God, and just to be able to worship the Lord this morning. Being a part of a church family is an important thing. I think sometimes we don't understand how important family is until someone in the family is going through something. And I just want to share with you this morning that our brother Moses Raju and his wife Sindhu are going through real grief right now. Moses' sister passed away in India just yesterday morning. 4 days ago was diagnosed as COVID positive, and within 4 days went to be with Jesus. We don't realize how blessed we are in our nation with the situation that exists with this horrid virus, but it can just be like that. One moment, everything's fine. Moses' sister just retired from being a teacher and was everything was fine, had a celebration with her friends. Within a couple of days of that restaurant outing, she tested positive to the COVID virus, and here we are. So Moses, obviously, his family loves the Lord, and he knows where his sister is. She's with the Lord, but that's such a difficult time. And I think it's important for us as a church family to be praying for our family when they're going through difficult times. And Moses and Sindhu are such a special part of our family. And my prayer is that, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that, all our praise should go to our Father, who is the one who is merciful and compassionate. He is the God of all comfort. And our prayer is that he will comfort those in their troubles, so that in turn we can comfort others. And we want to be those who are representing Jesus in bringing comfort and strength to Sindhu and to Moses at this time. And so if you know them well, please make sure that you contact them, that you share with them how much you love them and you're praying for them in this time of grief. I'd just like us all to, and I'm going to pray for them right now on behalf of all of us, but I'd like us also to be praying for Brian Guy, who's in hospital again. Many of you know Brian's story, but God, God blessed Brian many years ago with a heart and lung transplant, and he's a miracle. He's a walking miracle. But because of his immune system, he often gets attacked in terms of his health. And I really want to pray for Brian this morning as well. And so let's just reach out to the Lord. Lord, we just thank you that you are our healer. And we're just praying on behalf of Brian right now that you would touch him there in the Alfred. We thank you for that wonderful hospital, the amazing medical staff there who do wonderful work every single day. We pray your blessing upon them as they minister and as they take care of Brian. And we're just believing, Lord God, that he is going to come to full health in Jesus' name, and that you'd be with Kathy and the family as well at this time. Lord, we just bring Moses and Sindhu and Moses' siblings in India and his dad. Lord, we just commit them to you right now. We ask you, God of all comfort, would you place your loving arms around them in this time of grief? May they sense your love. May they sense your peace. The peace that passes all understanding. In the natural, it's impossible to feel that way, but supernaturally, we're praying for that to be their portion today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Was fantastic coming off of Easter, as Cameron sort of said, that the wonderful celebration of the sacrifice Jesus made for us and his resurrection, and just that amazing gift of eternal life that is ours because of Jesus and because of the price that he paid. And we must never lose sight of that. We must never lose the wonder and the awe of that we can receive the gift of eternal life because Jesus paid a price for our sins. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us, his children, right now. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you know, when we receive the gift of eternal life, it's a new life. We're born again. And so, you know, old things are passed away, the scripture says to us, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, the old life is gone, a new life has begun. So it's really important for us to understand this. With a new life comes a new personality. We don't have to live by the tendencies of the old life. You know, we sort of some of us have a tendency toward things, you know, whether it's maybe we're pessimistic or whatever the case is. But we're in this new life, we don't have to have those natural tendencies. We can have supernatural tendencies. And we can have the character and the characteristics of Christ because we are born again, born of the Spirit. And so, in a sense, when we are in Christ, we take on a new identity. It's not a multiple personality disorder or anything. We become new. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Let's understand that we take on a new identity when we are in Christ. And you know, I think it's really important in the world that we live in right now that we understand our identity in Christ, because we have a world that is so confused about identity. And because it's so confused, almost anything goes, and you know, everything is acceptable, but the reality is that God has an identity he wants us all to identify with and to represent, and that is Christ. And so you know, there are people clearly that are confused in our world. There are a lot of people who don't like who they are. They don't like who they've become. It's important for us to understand that our identity cannot be locked up in what we do or where we come from or whatever. Our identity must be in Christ. Because the truest thing about you is what God's word says about you. It's not what somebody else is trying to put on you and to say, well, you're this, you fit into this box, or you fit into this box, or this is your personality, this is your personality. Oh, that's why you think that way. That's why you think that way. Everyone is trying to identify us and put us into a category of some particular kind. But we need to understand that those things that are said by others don't identify who we are. Our identity comes from what God says about us, who he says we are. It's really, really important for us to know that. And so that's why we're going to spend these next few weeks talking about who I am in Christ, who we are in Christ. You know, I love what Dr. Neil Anderson says about identity. He says, the more you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect that true identity. It's really, really, it's so important for us to grasp that. So we need to know who we are in Christ. If we know who we are in Christ, then we're not listening to all that's going on around about us and people putting labels on us or whatever the case is. When we know who we are in Christ, we can say, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, this is who I am. It's very, very, it's very important for us at this time. So we need to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to accept what God says about us and become the person that he wants us to be, because frankly, God's opinion is the only one that counts. It's the only one that counts. He's God. He's not God with 1,000 letters after his name. He's just God. So his opinion is the only one that really matters, since he created it all, since he just spoke the word and there it was. Before the foundation of the earth, he knew who you were to become. No one else can do that. They can try and assess who you are and who you should be and what you should look like, but only God really knows, because he's got the blueprint. So the more that we agree with God about our identity in Christ, the more our behavior is going to reflect our God-given identity. And so, we draw that from the scriptures, who we are. We draw that from the scriptures. The Bible tells us that we're loved by God, we're chosen by God, we're adopted into his family, we're blessed by God, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're saved by grace, we're reconciled to God, we're created anew in Christ Jesus, we are called, we are holy, we're a part of his body, we're spirit-filled, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, we're called to live a life of significance. It goes on and on. The list actually goes on. The more you read the Bible, the more that you can add to that kind of list of who we are and how he sees us. So we need to know who we are in Christ so that we can live the kind of life that he's planned for us to live. And I want you to know that's a good life. John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. But God says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The kind of life that we have in Christ is exactly that. Rich, full, satisfying. Now, clearly that passage says that there's an enemy at work in the world. And the enemy wants to steal the kind of life from us that God actually wants us to live. We need to be aware of that we have an adversary. There is a devil. There is. and if we can acknowledge that, but then also understand that our God has defeated him through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. He is defeated once for all. When we understand that, we put things into perspective and we say, he can't steal that away. He can't destroy my life. God has won the victory on my behalf. So let's not let the enemy steal our true identity. So over the next a few weeks, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read a number of verses from Ephesians chapter 1 right now. It says, verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, we are united with Christ. We have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out in according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so you would praise and glorify God. That's such a rich passage of Scripture. You actually have to read it many, many times to grasp so much of what God is saying to us about spiritual blessing. We unfortunately, in this materialistic world we live in, try to equate blessing with material things. We say, oh, I'm blessed because I have this, 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 and this. But the Bible actually speaks about spiritual blessings. We've got to be really careful not to confuse the two. Because you can have nothing and be spiritually blessed. When I say nothing, nothing materially, but still be rich in the fact that we're saved. That alone, that spiritual blessing alone is much more than anything else. And so let's never get caught up on, you know, just slipping into the path of saying that person's blessed and that person's not because someone has and someone has not. Come on. Let's be much more mature in Christ than that. That's a very shallow form of Christianity. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us with material things. I believe that he does, but it is not a sign of the spiritual blessing of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. He chose us. Colossians chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and there are other passages that remind us that we are chosen. God chose you. That's why Cameron said in John 3:16, God so loved the world, take world out and put your name in there because he chose you. It's very specific. It's very personal. It's not general. It's personal. It's specific. He chose you. And whilst we live in a world where it's easy to feel like you're left out, you're on the outer, you're not in the in crowd, you're rejected, you're not accepted, all this kind of thing. And this happens in the world, you know, like, oh, why didn't they pick me? They chose that person first. Why didn't they choose me? I don't understand that. That happens in this world, but that's not a part of the kingdom. That's not kingdom culture. That might be the world that we live in, but that's not how God sees it. It says that he has chosen us. In the world that we live in, it seems that there are many others that somehow are higher up the pecking order, so to speak. But the Lord says, I chose you. You are mine. You're on my team. I want you to be the first round pick. Everyone is the favorite son. There is no pecking order. So we don't have this scenario where there's a whole bunch of people lined up and there's, you know, there's the star of the team, like a Cameron Marnie, you know, he's the tallest, the strongest, the biggest, and he's the captain of the team. And he says, well, you know, okay, I will choose Steve to be on my team. Yep, he's a good, strong midfielder. You know, oh, okay, I'll choose Seb. You know, he looks like he's fast, tall. He could be a new wing, you know, for the Bombers, something like that. And we kind of we've all been in those scenarios, the big lineup, you know, it's like, oh, gee, I hope Cameron picks me. I did really good at practice, Cameron. And we kind of think that somehow that's how life works. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm always last. But in the kingdom of God, we're all first. We can't understand all of that, but it's like no one else exists and God just sees you. How can that be? Well, it's just because he's God. We're so inferior. When we pick and choose and we set people in orders, and oh, that's a great person. No, that person, I don't like their personality. You know, we do that, but that's because we're not God. We're not perfect. But if we're a part of his kingdom, born into his kingdom, our identity changes. We can't say, I'm not perfect anymore. Oh, no, it's okay. I can be partial. I can pick this one over that or that over this. Because, you know, I'm human after all. Yes, we're human, but we're meant to be changing from glory to glory, even more into the likeness of Christ. So some of those old ways have to drop off, and we start to think in terms of, I'm chosen, but my thinking has to change in terms of how I see people. Because I need to start seeing people the way God sees people. John 15 verse 16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. just that alone is really powerful. You didn't choose me, I chose you. How many people say, oh, God, you're so lucky I come to church. You're so blessed I tithe. Where would the church be if it wasn't for me? Or maybe it's just me that says that. Actually, I didn't choose. I chose you. I chose you. Oh, you know, which church are you going to go to? Or do you know, what do you believe? We actually, if he's chosen us, we don't choose. If we're called, we're called. We just have to hear that and start moving in that direction that he's calling us. And the closer we get to him, the louder the voice is, so we know we're moving in the right direction. But when we're starting to move away from him, it's like, I can't hear God anymore. Of course you can't. You're moving away. Got to keep moving toward. Listen, he's calling. He's calling. He doesn't stop calling. He's always like, Dale. Dale. And then as it goes, Dale, Dale, Dale. It's actually, I realized then I've got to be moving closer because it should be going, Dale, 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 Dale. And it's not that he's raising his voice, it's just I'm getting closer. Do you understand? So people say, God doesn't, I can't hear God anymore. Guess who's moved? Because he's not stopped speaking. He's chosen you. I choose you. I've called you. And then he says, so that through you the Father will be glorified. And we think, well, how can I bring glory to God? Well, he's got a plan for that too. He's given to us the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26 and 27, I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. So it's the Spirit that's going to help us to understand who Jesus is and ultimately who we are as we take on his identity. And it says, and you must testify about me because you've been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Okay, let's go to verse 5. That's we're chosen. Let's never forget that. You're the chosen one. You're the chosen one. You're the chosen one. You're chosen. You're chosen. Let's never forget that. That's who we are in Christ. Verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We become a child of God, as I've already said today, through supernatural birth, born of the Spirit. Being a son or a daughter of God is a spiritual gift. It's a gift of grace. We're God's children by adoption. I think adoption shows us the greatness of God's grace. This is what Romans 8 verse 15 says. You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now we call Him Abba Father. See, in adoption, God takes us into His family and He establishes us as His children, not just His children, His heirs. We're not foster children. And no disrespect to people who foster parents, I think, are just wonderful. And we should understand the importance of all of that. But you know, in the kingdom of God, he's not your foster parent, he is your parent. You are a son and a daughter of God, an heir. You carry his name. You carry his name. It's amazingly special. And we get to call him Abba Father. You know, in the Abba is an Aramaic word, and in the culture of the day, anyone who wasn't a part of the household, anyone who wasn't part of the family, couldn't actually refer to the father as Abba, because it was an intimate term, like no one, only my children call me daddy. It's that kind of thing. Someone else in the household doesn't call me that. And that's the intimacy side of it. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to be able to call out Abba Father. I just think that whole concept of he's adopted us is really, really important, because it means he's chosen us, but not just chosen us as a follower, he's chosen us as a son. He's not just chosen us to be a part of his kingdom, he's chosen us to be a daughter of God. That's where the adoption thing, that's the identity is really important, you know. I just think that there is something amazingly precious when a family has adopted someone, they give them their name and they say, everything that I have belongs to you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I just think it's an amazing picture. I think parents who adopt children, often because they can't have their own children, is amazing. But then there's those that are blessed with being able to have their own children, and they still adopt children because those children have no identity. They don't have an earthly father or mother, and they say, you deserve to have that, and you're going to have the same rights. You're going to have the same blessing. You're going to have the same inheritance. Along all of that, and I've seen some wonderful examples of that over the years of families who have a child who's adopted and a child who's born naturally, and I've watched as they've been blessed, as they've blessed their children down through the years, there is no difference. I've been able to see no difference. They don't treat one any different from the other. The adopted son is exactly the same as the son who was born naturally into the family. Our God does this with us. It's so, so special. Okay, let's go to verse 7. And the team can come back because we're going to conclude now. Verse 7 says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. The Bible says that Jesus' blood was poured out to forgive the sins of many, and the many includes us. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." Ephesians 1, verse 7, "He is so rich," this is what I just read, "he's so rich in kindness and grace that he has purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins." Do you know no one is beyond forgiveness when it comes to God? In the world that we live in, there are a lot of people that are unforgiven by other people. I've heard people say this to me as they've shared the pain that they're going through, and they've said, "I can never forgive them. I will never forgive them." It's like that person has committed the unforgivable sin. That's in the natural. But we serve a supernatural God where nothing is unforgivable. Part of our identity as Christ followers is this: we're forgiven. But I could never be forgiven. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know. No, I don't. But God does, and he still chose to forgive. When you repent and you say, "I'm so sorry," the scripture says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he forgives our sins and he cleanses us from all wickedness. Can you believe that? Now, that's the love of God that we celebrated last weekend. And when I think about that as a Christ follower, as someone who says my identity is in Christ, it's not what people say. Because someone might have done something against me that someone else says, you don't have to forgive them. Man, that's just, you don't have to do that. They should never have done that to you. Well, when I find my identity in Christ, not from what other people are saying, this is what I learned from that: is he forgave me. How can I not forgive someone else who's wronged me? And if I want other people to forgive me for the wrong I've done, I sure better be someone who acknowledges who I am in Christ and be that person who's always willing to forgive, because forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness sets us free. So who are we in Christ? Well, this week all I've focused on is the fact we're chosen, we're adopted, and we're forgiven. Just meditating on those three things alone helps us to realize how different it is to be a Christ follower compared to just another human being, or a human being without Christ. I can't imagine what life would be like without feeling and sensing I've been chosen, adopted, and forgiven. We don't need to strive to be something. We don't need to try and change ourselves. We just need to focus on being in Christ and allowing his words to speak into our very spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do the changing. Because if we try to do all the changing, I'm telling you now, we will get quite messed up and we'll get tired, because we'll try and we'll fail and we'll try and we'll fail. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, things change. So we need Jesus. And we need to become like Jesus. And the only way that happens is when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the changing. Lord, we just come before you this morning as a part of broken humanity. We acknowledge our brokenness. We acknowledge the fact that we live in a sin-damaged world. We see the evidence of sin all around us. We see destruction all around about us. We see lives being ripped apart all around about us. This is not your doing, this is sin. Lord, thank you that we don't have to be a part of that. We are in this sin-damaged world, but we are not of it because we are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Thank you, you've called us to be those who would represent you in this sin-damaged world. You've called us to be those who would help to lead people to understanding that you have chosen them, that you do want to adopt them into your family, that you do want to forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness and bring them into a place and an understanding of the mysteries of your plan and your purpose for their life. So God, help us to be changed by the Spirit and to encourage and inspire through our life others to be drawn to you, to be changed by you. This is my prayer. Amen. Amen. Can I just say, anyone here, or maybe you're at home, you're watching this on the live stream, and you're saying, wow, you know, I want to be a part of God's family, but I don't know. I don't deserve it. I'm just not sure what to do, how to do. You know, it really is as simple as asking God, asking Him to forgive you, asking Him to change you, asking Him to come and lead you and guide you, inviting Jesus to be your Savior, inviting the Holy Spirit to change you and alter your identity. They just need to be our words from our heart, and however you say them, whether you're in this room or whether you're in the lounge room, it's saying, I don't like who I am, God, and I know that's not who you intended me to be. Would you change me? If you say those words, I promise you the Holy Spirit will begin a work today of change in your life. And let's see what else God wants to do in us and what He wants to do through us. If you've got any questions at all, would you email us at melbourne@dreambuilders.church. Email us, say, Dale, when you're talking about that, I want to be adopted. I'm just not sure what that means, how it is. We would want to help you here at Dream Builders Church. And so please do that. If anyone here in the room wants me to pray with you afterwards, I'm more than happy to do that, because God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. He's got a destiny for all of us. Amen. Wow.